Imagine someone who appears completely normal, charming, intelligent, even charismatic, yet leaves a trail of destruction in their wake. This is the psychopath as described in Hervey Cleckley's groundbreaking work, The Mask of Sanity. Unlike the Hollywood stereotype of the raving lunatic, real psychopaths wear what Cleckley calls a convincing mask of sanity that conceals a profound inner emptiness. They move through life appearing completely rational while behaving in ways that defy reason. What makes them so dangerous is precisely this contradiction. They don't look mentally ill. The businessman who periodically abandons his respectable life for bizarre drinking sprees. The brilliant scientist who climbs trees to shout defiance at police. The respected psychiatrist who maintains a calculated double life. These individuals demonstrate how psychopathy exists beneath the veneer of social respectability. Most chilling is how contemporary this phenomenon remains. These same individuals still occupy our boardrooms, neighborhoods, and sometimes our families, causing chaos while appearing perfectly normal. What distinguishes psychopaths from other mentally ill individuals is their intact intellectual functioning paired with profoundly disturbed behavior. They aren't hallucinating or delusional. They grasp reality perfectly well. Yet their lives follow patterns of self-destruction and harm to others. Consider Max, a patient with remarkable mechanical ingenuity who consistently sabotaged his own interests. Despite obvious capabilities, he couldn't maintain even minimal standards of behavior. When psychiatrists considered whether he should be committed as insane, they had to acknowledge he showed no technical signs of psychosis. Yet, he functioned worse than many patients with demonstrable mental illness. This contradiction challenges our binary concept of sanity. Between those recognized as psychotic and those functioning normally exists a population who, though legally competent, demonstrate gross irrationality. Psychopaths are unique in their profound disconnection from normal human values combined with an outward appearance of perfect sanity, like seeing someone whole and unscarred after reportedly being dismembered by freight trains. Psychopaths often use their intelligence against their own interests. Consider Pierre, a college freshman who forged checks where he'd certainly be recognized, making minimal effort to disguise his handwriting, all for small amounts he didn't need. Their judgment operates on two disconnected tracks. When evaluating theoretical situations or advising others, they demonstrate excellent reasoning. Yet in personal actions, their deficiency emerges. They can articulate correct choices and criticize past mistakes with apparent insight, but this understanding remains divorced from their behavior. Knowledge exists separately from action. Most baffling is their persistent self-sabotage. Despite intelligence and opportunities, they actively court failure. Chester exemplifies this. When granted freedom, he immediately engages in behaviors that ensure his return to confinement, which he claims to detest. The psychopath's failures aren't passive shortcomings, but active choices that appear deliberately self-defeating. After counting days until release, they promptly behave in ways guaranteeing immediate return. Cleckley suggests this represents regression toward a scantier existence. Without access to meaningful rewards, the psychopath lives in perpetual boredom, seeking diversion through increasingly outlandish behavior. At psychopathy's core lies a profound emotional deficiency that Cleckley describes as general poverty in major affective reactions. This isn't mere callousness, it's a fundamental inability to experience the full range of human emotions that give life meaning and guide moral behavior. The psychopath's emotional repertoire includes only shallow reactions like vexation, spite, quick flashes of quasi-affection, and showy indignation. Missing or deeper experiences, mature anger, genuine grief, sustaining pride, deep joy, or authentic despair. Even in self-created misery, jailed, institutionalized, relationships destroyed, they show no true sorrow. Anna's case illustrates this emotional vacancy. Despite shocking sexual exploits leading to multiple school expulsions, she denied responsibility with convincing sincerity or dismissed serious transgressions as pranks. She showed neither anxiety nor remorse, maintaining what one physician called an unbelievable but authentic innocence, with her self-respect bright and unblemished. This emotional flatness extends to aesthetic experiences. Psychopaths seem incapable of experiencing beauty, ugliness, goodness, evil, love, or humor meaningfully. As Cleckley noted about one patient, it is as though he were colorblind, despite his sharp intelligence, to this aspect of human existence. Psychopaths possess a remarkable ability to deceive. Unlike ordinary liars who show discomfort, psychopaths deliver falsehoods with natural conviction that routinely fools even professionals. Their lies lack typical signs of deception. Their statements carry special conviction without overemphasis. Whether detection is likely or certain, they remain unperturbed and equally persuasive, able to look anyone in the eyes during solemn perjuries without difficulty. This talent extends to their entire self-presentation. Psychopaths make distinctly positive first impressions, alert, friendly, and engaging. They appear well-adjusted without seeming artificial, looking like the real thing. Jack exemplifies this pattern, an imposing, charming 45-year-old with easy poise and a disarming smile. Despite his affable manner, his life reveals profound dysfunction beneath his superficial charm. Even experienced psychiatrists aren't immune. Cleckley admits that despite years of experience, he's still occasionally deceived by newcomers seeking loans or trying to cash checks, money that's never repaid, checks that always bounce. What's fundamentally wrong with the psychopath? Cleckley hypothesized brilliantly. Psychopaths cannot grasp what meaningful experiences mean to others. Not specific values, but the essential emotional substance from which loyalties, commitments, and honor develop. The psychopath engages this dimension so superficially that reality becomes insubstantial. This explains psychopathy's paradox, how someone maintains intelligence and theoretical understanding while these fail to influence behavior. Their subjective experience is bleached of deep emotion, leaving them invincibly ignorant of what life means to others. Despite knowing they lie, they seem genuinely surprised when their word is questioned, suggesting their grasp of honesty remains merely theoretical. The disorder likely stems from some subtle, profound defect in the human organism, probably inborn, though not necessarily hereditary, rather than purely psychological causes. As Jenkins notes, perhaps the conflict he does not have makes him a psychopath, suggesting their problem may be the absence of internal conflict itself. Cleckley revolutionized our understanding of psychopathy, establishing it as a distinct disorder rather than a catch-all for antisocial behavior. His 16 characteristic features form the foundation for modern diagnostic tools like Hare's psychopathy checklist, while his core hypothesis that psychopathy represents an emotional deficiency masked by intact intellect continues to guide research. Modern neuroimaging has provided biological evidence for his observations, revealing differences in brain regions associated with emotional processing. This understanding raises profound questions about moral responsibility. If psychopaths can't experience the emotional significance that gives meaning to moral concepts, how should society respond to their harmful behaviors? The legal system's focus on rational understanding may inadequately address their unique deficits. Effective treatment remains elusive because the disorder's nature, the absence of emotional depth and genuine motivation for change, creates fundamental obstacles to intervention. This makes early identification crucial. Cleckley's most important lesson is vigilance. The psychopath's mask of sanity is so convincing that we must look beyond surface charm to patterns of behavior over time. Understanding these invisible predators helps protect against their destructive influence through awareness, not paranoia.